The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. And this, by far, is the most important story of the day.
The Big Lead. Hey, how'd this get in here?
This is from the Wall Street Journal, Ursula. Headline. Today's smartly dressed people are wearing sweatpants.
What?
Yep. Stylish people are mourning the loss of legendary Chanel designer Karl Lagerfeld, who died February 19th at age 85. His influence on fashion was profound. He was also clever with a quote, blah, 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 blah. One of his quotes, sweatpants are a sign of defeat. You lost control of your life. So you bought some sweatpants. But then the Wall Street Journal writer goes on a long analysis of why sweatpants are acceptable even in the workplace.
And what is the number one reason?
They're cozy. They're comfortable.
They inspire you to think smarter.
They don't restrict you from whatever you want to eat.
Have you noticed that there has been a direct correlation between when I started wearing sweatpants and our show's ratings?
Oh, yeah. Put that together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I actually think that yoga pants / sweat should be what they're talking about, because I think that yoga pants have also become the more acceptable
These are my nice sweats today. These are the ones that were, they advertise them from the boardroom to the ball field. and I found out they aren't appropriate either place. Yeah. Because I always, when I was coaching high school basketball, I didn't wear a coat and tie like a lot of coaches.
Is it like textures and stuff? Are you one of those that like the tag or just certain types of clothes just make you feel uncomfortable?
I just... Look, I dressed for success until I was well into my 40s. And I never wore shorts or jeans to work throughout my 20s because I wanted to make an impression. Who do I need to impress now?
So Karl Lagerfeld had something about sweats. He was onto something.
Well, no, he thought they were hideous.
It's a regular thing that Wyman's kind of obsessed with, but he again brought it up last week filling in for you that he wore things that could be slid on.
Yes.
For that purpose.
Yes. Well,
So Carl said that you've given up when you've started wearing sweats.
Which is what Seinfeld told Costanza, too. But anyway, Wall Street Journal headline, today's smartly dressed people are wearing sweatpants. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Okay, next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
This is a new story that you handed off to me earlier today, Ursula, that Sound Transit has just passed a resolution on ST3, where they have announced how much they are going to spend on art as part of ST3. And the amount that they are setting aside, the proposed action, $126,351,394 will be set aside for art for ST3. They also are going to have $14.5 million set aside for operations and maintenance of the art, and they are proposing next year increasing the art program by $200,000. And this is where you know for certain that the homelessness so-called crisis is the most bogus issue ever. Because, look, the voters approved 1% for the arts. Nobody ever dreamed that we would have an agency is wildly out of control. Sound Transit, ST3. If that's 1%, you can do a little bit of math. They're planning on spending over $12 billion Okay? 126 million times 10 is 1.26 billion times 10 is $12 billion. And they are going to set aside $126 million for art projects. I don't even know how you could spend $126 million. Think about the people who are connected to Sound Transit board members, who are connected to Peter Rogoff and Dow Constantine. You know, maybe their niece's a college roommate got a degree in art and she can't get any work because nobody wants to buy her crap. Oh, guess what? King County taxpayers will. We'll give her $800,000 for something that wouldn't sell for $800 in a private gallery. It is an unbelievable. This is a $100+ million ripoff of taxpayers so that a bunch of deadbeat loser public artists can suckle on the government teat. Ah, it's just, it's unbelievable how much of our money is wasted. So you tell me, when this can persist, you tell me that they're serious about taking care of homeless people. When we have $126 million so we can put an octopus in Tacoma, which is one of the first art installations. Oh, you want more? Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
One of the criminals who should be overseeing the profligate spending of Sound Transit is Dow Constantine. Dow Constantine has just proposed a $738 million levy for the parks system. Constantine says that he wants a parks levy. If you have a $1 million home, which is pretty common in King County, you would have to pay $168 a year for parks. Now, this is part of the incredible shell game that government always plays. We will fund the nonsense, and then we'll go to the voters for a levy for the things they really want. You know how many King County employees there are? Take a guess. Take a guess. In your mind, how many employees do you think it takes to run King County government? How about 17,600 King County government employees? 17,600. 4,000 of them make over $100,000 a year as government workers. That's why they don't have any money for the parks. We're spending it all on bogus nonsense jobs. Not saying all 17,000 jobs are bogus and nonsense. Some of them might be essential. Some of them might actually do some good. But I guarantee you, a quarter of those jobs are nonsense. And we could easily get by. But what else do we spend on? Well, let's see. You got when the accused child rapist was mayor of Seattle, he hired 1,300 new City of Seattle employees, adding $130 million a year to the city payroll. Blew up his budget by 70%. Public safety costs went up by more than $100 million. Transportation expenses doubled. The city of Seattle spent well over $1 billion on just employee salaries. Again, you could get rid of half of those government and city jobs. You could save the taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars a year, and nobody would feel it at all. Not at all. And then you have the criminal racket that is the homelessness industry. Where in King County and Seattle, we spend $1 billion a year, which works out to $1,000 per homeless person per year. A family of four. I got emails from lots of people when I talked about these numbers a couple of weeks ago. I heard from family of four, husband, wife, two kids, and they get by on 70 grand. And they say it's not easy. But, you know, we scrimp and save and we take care of our kids and we make it on 70,000 because we budget. You take a group of four homeless people anywhere in our region, we are spending $400,000 a year on that family of four. And we're told it's not enough. But we need a levy for the parks. And we need to spend $126 million on art for Sound Transit. And people keep falling for the scam. When you put criminals in office, you shouldn't be surprised when they commit crimes. And that's what all of this is. $126 million for Sound Transit art. 17,000 King County employees, 4,000 of them making six figures. More than 13,000 City of Seattle employees, half of them making six figures. Most of those jobs completely unnecessary. City of Boston runs their city with far more cops on the street, with a city budget about half of what Seattle's is. We simply have a criminal culture that is the Democratic Party that runs things around here. And then Dow Constantine, and he'll win this levy because we got so many chumps. Oh, it's for the parks. I know, we're spending a lot on taxes, but I like parks. So we'll have a few more parks that a few more heroin rapists can hang out in at night. And then they'll tell us we're not spending enough on homelessness. We need another levy because the $1 billion a year, the $100,000 per person per year on homelessness, that ain't enough. Yes, when you put criminals in charge, don't be surprised when they commit crime. And that is exactly what we're seeing around here. Those numbers, are they blowing your mind? Here's Dow Constantine, why he's so passionate about parks.
Well, this is an important thing for us to steward, to take care of the parks we have now, but also to complete those trails, to protect the open space so we can hand it off to the next generation and keep the things we really love about this place.
This is something you're really passionate about, right? So this is why you got into politics.
It is. It was open space preservation, the environment that first got me interested in politics, and here we have an opportunity to really create a legacy for our children and grandchildren. So I'm excited about it.
Oh, I bet you are. I can just feel the excitement. Oh, and by the way, right now you're spending $5 a month on parks if you have a $500,000 home. And listen to all he's asking for.
This is a chance for an additional $2 a month if your home's worth $500,000.
So just $2 a month?
In addition to the current $5.
Okay.
To protect what's best about King County and Central Puget Sound.
You know, I like the anchors there. But I mean, come on. Can we challenge politicians on this? So, wait a second. First of all, where are you finding these $500,000 houses in King County? So for a $1 million house, everybody's paying $60 a year. You want it to be $84. No, you want it to be $168 a year. And we're blowing all this money on Sound Transit, but you and Peter Rogoff, you throw little fundraiser parties at each other's mansions if the ethics board doesn't beat you up, right? You've exploded the King County payroll to have a bunch of six-figure jobs. We're going to blow $126 million, but just $2 for a park. Man, I tell you, they are so generous with our money.
Well, I'm really pleased that Jay is talking about running nationally. We haven't had a really serious presidential candidate from Washington State for a long time. And his message is a great one, very consistent with what I was talking about with the parks levy. If the time is right, and if he, in fact, does run for president, I would certainly consider that. I'm having a great time right now doing this work in King County.
So Del Constein's going to run for governor. Jay Inslee's going to run for president. Bob Ferguson is going to run for dictator of all who are not leftist. It'll be quite the little Politburo that we have around here. Jay Inslee, for his matter, he was on CBS's Face the Nation yesterday. And, you know, poor Jay. They workshop these little phrases for him, and then he forgets how many times he's already used them, and he ends up sounding really, well, not super intelligent.
When are you actually going to make a decision on whether you're running?
At the right moment, but it'll be soon.
Which is when?
And we're happy to talk to you. Just at the right moment, it will be soon.
I think you said weeks, not months.
We're coming up to another week. Stay tuned.
We are, certainly. Are you expecting it this week?
It could be as soon as that. And what we are seeing right now, and I've been pleased by what I've been hearing across the country, that people do want a president that will act on a real emergency, which is climate change. We're very proud of our New Mexico
government. Okay, so that's the phrase they workshopped for his CBS appearance. The people want a president who cares about a real emergency, and that is climate change. But then he says it over and over, and he doesn't remember that he just got it in seconds earlier, and it just sounds ridiculous.
President that will act on a real emergency, which is climate change. We're very proud of our New Mexico governor, who's building a clean energy economy, to respond to a real emergency, which is climate change.
Oops, you just said that 5 seconds earlier, Jay.
But she and the other governors, look, we're fighting real emergencies, the forest fires that
you
are
mean, which is climate change?
Assuming the Western United States. They need a president who will rally the nation to a clean energy economy,
right,
jobs by the millions, and save this country from that damage.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, we got the governor that the Cato Institute said is the worst, 50 out of 50 in the United States when it comes to taxation and spending. We have homeless, heroin addicts, raping women around here on an all too frequent basis. Killing people around here. You got little teenage girls being turned out as prostitutes in the homeless encampments so junkies can get their next fix. Yeah, let's export that to the rest of the nation. Let's do it. J2020. That is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
To think I once played basketball against that man. Okay, we're going to check the news for you, and then our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up next. Oh, it's that time of the day when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Doring Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
Our Awesome Audio is brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Man, I've seen how the snow is handled to your cars. They're all dirty and filthy. Get into Brown Bear Car Wash. Great sponsor, great people, and get that car showroom ready. Okay, at number three, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she was Facebook Live streaming, her making some bizarre, what she calls chili. She puts sweet potatoes in it. So that ain't chili. But I assume this is her boyfriend, asked her, what would Trump put in chili? And the little exchange, this just sounds like a nightmare to me.
Number three.
What would Trump put in chili?
Oh, my God.
Bologna! He would put bologna in chili.
But that sounds like about a six-year-old's joke, doesn't it? And then he laughs. He's trying to hold on to what he's got. Bologna! Seriously, it sounds like a couple of six-year-olds.
What would Trump put in chili?
Oh, my God.
Bologna! He would put bologna in chili. Both because I think that's where his taste palate is developed to, and for the obvious
part. Probably wouldn't pizza that he cut with a fork and knife.
What?
Bologna. I just thought of that thing you said 20 seconds ago about bologna. They're a cute couple. At number two, all the talk's been about climate change. Climate change. And the phrase of the day is, it's an existential threat.
Number two.
Everybody's saying it.
But being practical also recognizes that climate change is an existential threat.
Warned mankind that we were facing an existential threat.
And so for me, this is an existential issue.
This is an existential threat.
Climate change is quite simply an existential threat.
And in the same way that we have an urgency when we mobilize entire economies of existential war crises or threats.
Yeah. It's not just a threat, you guys. It's an existential threat. That one must have played really well with the focus groups. And at number one, I don't really get this, but Nicole and Ursula, they loved this song that won the Best Music, Best Song Oscar last night. It's from A Star Is Born. You know, that Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
Number one.
Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore? I'm falling. In all the good times, I find myself longing for change.
Let me skip to the I can wait for the
and
high notes.
In the bad times, I fear myself. I'm off the deep end. Watch as I dive in. I'll never leave the ground.
She's a very talented artist,
and
must
so
say.
Is he. Oh yeah,
he's just a pretty face.
Oh. That too.
Those are our favorite sound bites of the day, brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Lots more. Today's sign next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. I better finish strong to put a cherry on this Monday with today's edition of
Today's Sign that the end is near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. More Trump derangement syndrome all around the country. A far-left anti-ICE activist has protected her Twitter account after she filmed herself harassing an elderly man who was wearing a Make America Great hat at a thrift store. Her name is Abib Asensio, and she just walked around the store for minutes filming the man as he's trying to shop. He tries to put his hand up to her camera, but he's pleasant to her. But she just was relentless in her pursuit and trying to shame this poor old guy.
Look at what this man is wearing at the thrift store. Look at him. Nasty. Should be ashamed of yourself, you poor human.
You poor human. She says that she's from Cuba, and the process, once she posted the video, it was in the process of being ratioed with over 700 retweets and 2,500 mostly angry responses at her. And she just has no shame. People have no shame. People on the left seemingly cannot just live with the fact that other people have different political opinions than them. It happened in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, where a 23-year-old guy, Brighton Turner, and this guy is just really cool. He's being very calm. He's sitting and dining at a Mexican restaurant. The Hispanic guy behind the counter says the 23-year-old guy was just nice as can be. He's wearing a MAGA hat. and a 41-year-old Brazilian woman, Rosiane Santos. She's now been charged with disorderly conduct and assault and battery for what she did to this guy.
See this right here? This is the problem.
That's 23-year-old Brighton Turner of Mashpee, seated at the bar. The woman behind him is 41-year-old Rosiane Santos of East Falmouth.
That's the problem. The problem with America these days. People are just ignorant. They want to lash out on people who are educated.
Okay, so he's been real calm. Woman standing behind him, berating him for no reason. He did nothing to instigate this, according to the guy working behind the counter. And he goes, she's ignorant, and she just wants to berate someone who's educated, meaning him.
According to the police report, Turner told officers he was minding his own business when Rosiane began to verbally assault him due to his Make America Great Again hat. Did the guy in the MAGA hat say anything to provoke her?
No. They're asking the Hispanic guy behind the counter.
He just walked in and ordered his food.
As Falmouth police were escorting Rosiane out of the restaurant, bartender Gio Macario says she took another swipe at Turner.
She just tried to grab my hand in front of four officers. Not smart.
I couldn't imagine somebody just coming up to somebody and hitting them, right, when there's cops everywhere.
They showed us the video today, and I was really surprised about his restraint in the whole situation.
Yeah, like I said, the young man, he just stays calm and cool. The 41-year-old woman is out of her mind, so much so that she tried hitting his hat off his head in front of four cops. But she is deranged. This is how the Trump haters have let their own minds become addled because of their own hate, their own stupidity.
There are two sides to every story, and we got Rosiane's by phone. She says she's a Brazilian immigrant, and although she regrets her actions, she claims she was provoked.
I had a little bit to drink. Maybe that's the reason that I couldn't walk away. But being discriminated for so many times in my life, I just had to stand up for myself. He's not a victim. I am the victim. I have been bullied, okay?
You're the victim, you say, because you attacked somebody for a baseball cap that they were wearing. Maybe you're a victim because you're a nasty human being. And maybe when you treat people nasty, they treat you nasty in return. And what you think is a victim is just a consequence of your own nastiness. And that's what so many of these people who have let their minds get controlled by the enemy, that's what they just don't realize about themselves. Ugh, today's signed story number three. This is from the UK. Where 23-year-old Rory O'Connor attacked his father after he prodded him with a vacuum hose. So Rory O'Connor, who has no arms, by the way, he grabbed a knife with his toes and stabbed his dad in the stomach. This guy used to swim for Wales, but he lost his arms after some major surgery. And now he decided to attack his father by picking up a pair of scissors with his toes and stabbing his father, trying to kill him. The father was taken in for major surgery. The court heard that people around this man are scared and frustrated that somebody with such toe dexterity has access to scissors. So now he could go to prison for attempted murder, for a toe stabbing. That is some foot dexterity there. And then finally, do we have any good holiday music here? Yeah, this works. A man in Virginia named Terry Robeson, he was looking into nursing homes. He's still a ways away from retirement. But he found out the average nursing home costs $188 a day. So he came up with a better idea. He's going to go on holiday. He found out that if you get a long-term stay, along with a senior discount at a Holiday Inn, it costs just $59 a night. Plus, he says the Holiday Inn always has free breakfast. Some even have happy hours. So he's going to end up saving over $100 a day on a Holiday Inn versus a nursing care home. He says that's plenty of money left over to buy a nice lunch, nice dinner, do his laundry, give gratuities to all the hotel staffers. Plus, they're going to come and clean his room once a day, change out his sheets. Something goes wrong in the room, it's the hotel's business. They got to come and fix it. He says they'll treat me like a customer, not a patient. And then he said, and I don't have to stay at just one Holiday Inn. I could go to anyone, anywhere around the world and travel. Want to see Hawaii? They have Holiday Inns. And here's another benefit. If the grandkids want to come and visit, he'll just pick a Holiday Inn that has a swimming pool. And the grandkids will love that too. And then he said, if things medically take a turn for the worse, they'll call an ambulance or the Undertaker for him. That's not a bad idea. So $60 a day, that's about $1,800 a month. A lot cheaper than a nursing home. Stay anywhere in the country. Swimming pool for the grandkids. Free breakfast. Maid service. We're spending $100,000 per homeless person per year here in the Puget Sound area. We could put every one of them in a Holiday Inn for $20,000 per person per year. We need a holiday here. We took a holiday. Some time to celebrate. Come on, celebrate one day. And all of this is today's sign. The end is near. I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. But I'll go home, think up a bunch of new stuff, and dazzle you with it for tomorrow's extravaganza. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Head up.
This show is truly good for nothing.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.